Now, somebody asked me,
I don't know, a number of questions. I took them home and I started to bring them back and then I tore them up. Thought maybe we'd just get a new start and instead of trying to answer those. So if anybody's got one, you can let me know. Brother Lynn has pressed on us to put a tape of answering questions. So many people write in from overseas and different places, and they have questions. Maybe you already know them, and maybe you already understand them, and that's good if you do. But those people out there, they don't have anybody to minister to them a lot of times and answer their questions. And so then they ask us questions, constantly ask us questions. And my wife is real fussy about it if I don't answer them. Of course, I want to answer them, but it's a little hard to do it sometimes. Would you like to come up and read it, Brother Taylor, because they need it on tape as to the answer?
This requires a Bible verse to ask it. All right, it says, what does it mean, Genesis 1:27-28, which reads, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Does it mean God created man and woman in the same day? Then what about Genesis 2:7? This is all connected. 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Then in 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Then 21 and 23. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. They want to know, did God create man and woman in the same day?
All right. Did God create man and woman in the same day? All right, now, it is very obvious that God did not create man and woman in the same day, only to the extent that when he made Adam, he made male and female within Adam, because Adam was both man and woman. When you say in the same day, I'm speaking according to our calendar way of thinking. So let's just read a little right here and I'll show you what I'm saying. It said, and God said, let us make man in our image. Now when I say this, I'm speaking, when we speak of a day with God, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Let's first read here and see what he is doing. When I say in the same day, now I'm speaking of this, at the same instance, did he make man at the same instance as he did woman? No, he did not. Now as to the same day, we'll read right here, and it's a little different when you speak of the day. She asks the question in the day. It says, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens, dividing the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. It goes on to say that he did make the lights. And then it goes on to say here, and it was the fourth day. On the first day, it gives, and God said, let there be light. And then on the second day, God made the firmaments. On the third day, God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together under one place. The dry land appeared. On the fourth day, he said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens. On the fifth day, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind on the sixth day. All right, now, on the sixth day, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so, and God made the beasts of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, that was the sixth day. And then he said, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. This is some of the things that they want to know about. Now, it is obvious that woman has not been made until this time. And God only works 6 days. 6 days. Now, he doesn't up and make the woman right then. He makes the man. See, and he goes on down to explain here that he made the man and he gave him dominion and done all of these things. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Now look, read right here, 26. And God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them, you notice he uses the word them, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now, it's obvious that he did not make man and woman at the same time. If you'll read on, it sounds like here that he made them at the very same time. But he could not possibly have made them at the very same time. And yet the blessing that God gives is upon the male and the female. And the multiplying said, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, see, he's saying to them. And yet, it goes on down even in the second chapter. And God says in the 18th verse, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Why in the world does God do that? That's down in the second chapter. See, we're over here in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, and he's blessing them and he's creating them. And he's talking about the creation, and we've gotten into the sixth day. And then we read all the way down here about the herbs, where he tells that the herbs of the field are given to the beast to eat, and about the fowls of the air, and it goes on down. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended his work. And then after all of this, he gets over here in the second chapter, the 18th verse, and said, God is looking for a helpmate. Now listen to it. Or helpmeet, he calls it. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. See, he named them. God had created all the other things. Adam was standing there naming them, but there wasn't no Eve. There was no Eve. Now, did he create in the same day? Now, when you say the days according to our calendar years, like we say day and night, it's obvious that it appears that he could not have done anything else. Because this is the sixth day that God is making man in his image and blessing the male and female, and there's not another day of labor left. Because he only worked 6 days and rested in the seventh. And it brings it down to the Sabbath or the seventh before he ever does say anything about finding the woman. Now, we would either have to say that God created Eve on the seventh day instead of resting. Or either he had to make her in the same day. Isn't it right? When we say in the same day, it is a true fact that he speaks of the woman in the 18th verse, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. It's obvious that he is alone. And she is not made at the same time because he is alone. Now, God did not make them at the same time or he would not have been alone. And it's obvious that he named all of these different things as they searched for a mate. But out of all the creation, there was not anything that could mate with Adam. This, of course, to me helps to explain some of the things that, whereas they talk about men marrying beasts and then children being born and all these kind of things. See, it says here that out of every one of those beasts, there was not one of them that could be a helpmate or a helpmeet. Out of all of them, there was not one. So then it's very obvious that God especially made one. And to do this, he had to put Adam asleep. To sleep, that is. He put Adam to sleep. And when he put Adam to sleep, then he took the rib out of the side of Adam, and then he made a woman. Now, most of you that are revelational in your mind, you know that that was Calvary. You know that that was the blood and the water, as we say, that come forth from the side of the second man, Adam. That was the church coming into existence, the woman. So then God created all things before he ever brought the church into existence. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? I mean that from the beginning of the foundation of the world all the way down to Calvary, the Lord created, made things, worked everything after the counsel of his own will, and still didn't have a church. Though the Bible speaks of the church in the wilderness, it's not called the bride of Christ. And it wasn't until Calvary that God actually created the bride. That is to say, it was at Calvary that the bride was taken out of the side of Jesus. And there is no record of the church until Pentecost or Calvary. And then the church ages set in, or the ages of the church set in. So then, was she actually made in the same day? I'll leave it up to your thoughts. It is on the sixth day, right here, that he's doing these things. And then it is said, when it speaks of the sixth day, it says here, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. So then it says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. All right, I think that pretty well covers that, so far as when he made the woman. I say again, that's basing on the fact that the Bible said, he speaks of it like this, and God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. That's basing on an evening and a morning thing. He calls it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days, and then rest is on the seventh. Okay, now, the next thought is this. She wanted to know, the thing is, when did God make Adam? That's the thing. When did God make? Can anybody tell me when God made Adam? What day? Sixth day. Okay, then if he made Adam on the sixth day, it's for sure that he couldn't have made her at any other time, because that was the last day. Doesn't that make sense? Because it was after he was made that she was taken out of his ribs. So it's for sure that that settles that right there. The seventh day, God rested. There could be only one thing that he could have done, and that's made Adam on the seventh day. And the Bible said that God rested from all of his work on the seventh day. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, does that answer the question? Okay. All right, what was the next question?
In Genesis 1, when God began to create or began the creation, he created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1, and created the light and separated the light from the darkness and called the light day, and darkness he called night. All that was done in one day. Is it right to say there is day and night in heaven?
You see what kind of questions people have? Maybe you never even thought of that. That might not never even crossed your mind. But to them, that's real important. That was in the first chapter, Frank. All right. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. I'm just reading this so you can understand when I say what I'm going to say. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, and the question is there day and night in heaven? See, where the problem comes in, folks, a lot of times, is that people don't understand the Scripture. There's nothing that's said of heaven here. There's nothing that speaks of heaven here as to what she is asking. See, show me right there where it speaks of heaven. It don't speak of heaven according to the heaven of godliness. This is a heaven that God made that the stars are in. Whereas the Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away. That heaven is going to pass away. And the earth is going to pass away. The Bible said, and we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So then the question arises, are we talking about the first heaven or the second heaven or the third heaven? See, this kind of heaven here, he's only putting the moon and the stars as to celestial bodies in a natural heaven above our head. So it's not a matter of whether there is light or darkness in heaven, because this doesn't have to do with heaven, you know, as to the heaven that she's got on her mind. How do you understand what I'm saying? See, it's a misinterpretation of the Scriptures. That's what it is. Does that make sense? I ask you that so as to tell me. All right. Now, what was the next one? I can't take very long on these. If I take very long on them, then I won't be able to answer.
Okay, how did God create the rest of the things in heaven and when? Because in Genesis 1:31 and 2:1, God was said to have finished creation. How did he create the angels and the mansions in heaven?
Now, how did God create the mansions and the angels in heaven? Let me say something right here. First of all, if we will stop and think, there is no mansions created until Jesus comes and then he leaves and then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. So when we say mansions, I really don't read where he said, I'll go create you a mansion. But anyway, he said a place. So when you say mansions, I really can't answer that as to saying when he created the mansions, because I don't have any Bible for that. But I can say a place. When Jesus left, he did say, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare the place, I will come again to receive you unto my own, that wherever I am, there you may be also. Now, as to the angelic host, there is no record. There is no record where God created the angels as to when. Now notice this, it said in the beginning. And I've preached on this before and brought it out because a lot of people ask questions like this. And I did that so that if you ever run across this, you would know how to answer the person. See, in the beginning, we say in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now we say in the beginning of what? In the beginning of what? There is no beginning with God. The Bible said He is without beginning and without end. So there's no beginning with God. So what is He talking about in the beginning? The word Genesis means beginning. Moses is the one that wrote about this. There was no such a book. Moses was the one that went up on the mountain and seen this and went way back there and saw God's hind part, as to say everything on that side of Calvary, and wrote about it. He was the one that wrote about it. Now, in the beginning of what? In the beginning of this world. In the beginning of creation. In the beginning when God made a man. In your beginning. Not in God's beginning. In the beginning of the creation of the world. In the beginning of man being created. That is, man has a beginning. In the beginning. But the one that did the creating was before the beginning, because He doesn't have a beginning. And He had to be before the beginning and had to be without beginning, or He could have never started the beginning. Does that make sense to you folks? See, God hath no beginning. He is, He was, He shall be, even from everlasting to everlasting. And before the world ever was, He said, I am. He even said concerning Abraham, before Abraham was, I am. See, so in the beginning, when we say beginning, we've got to find the right definition for beginning to keep our mental stability or our mental balance. That's why we have measurements. We have measurements. We say 2 and 2 makes 4, and 10 and 10 makes 20, and we have measurements. We have boundaries. We outline things in our mind. Science, that is, the word means knowledge. The knowledge of this world, the way they do, they can't see. They can't see radio waves moving through the air. So they draw little lines, imaginary lines. And by that, they study these things. And when you and I read the books and look at them, we think, you know, that they picked up the little radio things and just looked at them. Whereas you can't do that with your eyes. You understand what I'm saying? Those are movements, those are motions, those are disturbances, or those are vibrations in the air that are vibrating by means of the atomic particles that's in the air. We've got a message here where we go back into music, and we go back into the electrical, and we go back into the fibers of mankind, and we explain it, how that these vibrations come about. And how it takes so many vibrations for the heart, the different things, and how witches work from these vibrations. I know some of you understand this, and we get into those things a lot more if you were more spiritual. But it takes a deep, concentrated effort toward the Word and to be able to get into spiritual things. And that's why that a lot of times I seem evasive when we get to them things. I don't get into a lot of those deep things because I can't even hold your attention a lot of times in just the natural things, like answering questions or just preaching to you, you know. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to tell you some things. Jesus said, dull of hearing, many things. If you ask of me, I'll tell you great and mighty things that you know not. See, but I can't do that. All right, so then, beyond the beginning. So what is the beginning? See, the question that the woman is asking, I have to read it like this, because in the beginning, God creates the heaven and the earth, but beyond the beginning, there has to be a God. So what is the beginning? It's the beginning of you and I. It's the beginning of creation. How do you understand what I'm saying? So when you talk about God as to creating the angels, where did God create the angels? There's no record here in the beginning where He created angels. Because this is not the beginning of the angels. This is the beginning of the creation. The world that you and I live in. So then, when we say mansions, I can't, I can't go on that because, like I said, it's over Calvary that he goes away to prepare a place. And yet we know that God prepared a place before the world ever was. For the Bible said he chose us in Christ before the world ever was and revealed it at Calvary. So Calvary is only the revelation or the revealing of what God did in his foreknowledge. And that's why John wrote it a few short years later on the Isle of Patmos and called it the revelation or the revealing of the mind and act of Almighty God. When were the angels created? All right, this is something that I've tried my best to get over to you, and I've never been able to get it over to you. David Paul got excited one day when we was talking, and it sounded as though, whether he got it or not, I don't know, but it sounded as though he understood what I was saying. But people just looked at me with a blank expression. You know, these things have to be quickened to you, and they have to be revealed to you. Though I tell you exactly what it is, and I understand it to a T, but you can't get it. You can't get it. It has to be revealed to you. Now, a preacher has to preach it to you, because it's like putting a seed in the ground. I may plant it in the ground today, and it might be 3 weeks from now, 3 months from now, before it ever springs up as to a revelation so that you will understand it. All right, now, let's just to understand what we would have to understand to try to answer the woman, let's look then beyond the beginning. Now, if I emphatically point out to you that the beginning is where something tangible comes into existence, or where God begins to work with tangible substance, or this is where he begins to bring the atomic particles into existence that Einstein speaks about. See, if this is the beginning, then you know what a beginning is and what this beginning is. And so then if I say beyond the beginning, you shouldn't get lost, because you know there's got to be a beyond the beginning. You understand what I'm saying? There has to be a beyond the beginning. How could there be a beginning, you know, unless there is a beyond the beginning? There has to be something. You would say, Brother Pike, you're crazy. There couldn't be nothing like that. Well, let's look at this. Paul said, I am less than nothing. What is beyond nothing? Whatever is beyond nothing, Paul said, that's what I am. So, and if you can explain that to me, you know, and to satisfy me, then I'll say, well, there ain't nothing beyond the beginning. You know, if you can prove that there is nothing beyond nothing, or there isn't something beyond nothing. All right, so then beyond the beginning. You can't say Paul was ignorant, didn't know what he's talking about. You know, we'd all like to be ignorant like Paul was, being caught up to the third heaven and knowing all about the heavenly things. So you can't just write it off like that. Like Mike Bradley told his mother not too long ago, his sister, it was his sister, calling her and talking to her over the telephone, he said, you can't just run, stick your head in the sand like an ostrich and hope this thing will pass over. Now, this is reality. There's going to be a lake of fire. There's going to be a heaven. He was pointing these things out to. Okay, so then beyond the beginning, what is there? God. Because it doesn't speak of God having a beginning. It just said God is. He was. Now this is what we need to understand. I would say to you, and when was the angels created? Somebody would say, well, I don't know. It might have been 1,000 years beyond the beginning. Or it could have been 10,000 years beyond the beginning. Or somebody could say it could be 1,000,000 years. Now I'm just going to get extreme here for just for a few minutes to make a point. Somebody said, no, I think it was 10 billion years before the beginning. Somebody said 10, on and on and on, trillion years, and on we go, beyond the beginning. Now who's right? Somebody said, no, it was beyond that. And you can take science, a little silly theory, you know. They got their little silly theory, you know, of the nebula mass spinning around and how it spun like mama rolling the dough and she spins the biscuits off, you know. And one spin off of here and one spin off of yonder. And this become Jupiter and this become Mars and this become the world. And, you know, and then they go through their little ritualistic, you know, about the vertebra age and how that the chlorophyll came and all these kind of things, you know. Silly, crazy, foolish. Science falsely so called. A knowledge ain't nothing but a lot of foolishness. Ever learning and never accepting the truth of the knowledge of the Word. You understand what I'm saying? Like I've said so often, say there was a nebula mass. Say that they were right. Where does the nebula mass come from? Oh, they explained that. They saying there's a lot of dust particles out here and all this got together and it got to spinning, you know. And this is what made your nebula mass. But the thought is, where did the dust particles come from? They don't try to explain that because they don't know. They saying a lot of gases got into it, you know, but where did the gases come from? Has to be something to make gas. How do you know I'm telling you the truth? See, it's a bunch of foolishness. It's silliness. Just like evolution coming from a tadpole or a frog. You know, they go back out in the river, out in the ocean, that is, and they get a lily pad. First thing you know, they got a little tiny bud and a little tiny lily pad and a little speck out here in the ocean, and it goes from one thing to another, and it winds up a tadpole, and after a while, they hatch out a man. You know, I might be ignorant, but at least I'm not that ignorant. The Bible speaks of some people never knowing the depths of Satan. I hope I never know the depths of ignorance, because that sounds like about the depths of it there. All right, so then let's just look at it this way, folks. We reason, and we can reason if we reason with the Word. The Bible said, come, let us reason together, as long as we don't lean down on understanding. But let's just remember now, the whole world's built on that silly theory. But let's look at the Word of God and take the Word of God and let's go back beyond the beginning and we can make it make sense. Go back beyond the beginning. So somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, how far do we go back beyond the beginning? Do we go 1,000 years, 2,000 years? Now this is what I'm always trying to get over to you. Beyond the beginning, there is no years. Because the beginning is what brings years into existence. It's very clear here. It said the first day God said, let there be light. This was the beginning. This was the first day. And days make months and months make years. This is the beginning of time. See, it is the starting of time. It is the beginning of time. You are a time creature. And that's the only reason you die is because you are a time creature. See, so you being a time creature in the beginning of time, see, because it is days, it is months, and it's years. Now that makes sense, don't it? And beyond the beginning of time. See, this is why that you have calendars and clocks and time elements, because you lose your stability. See, you lose your balance. When you get out there beyond the beginning of time, you say, oh my God, I've gone crazy. I don't know nothing no more, you know. I can't think no more. You know why? Because you don't have nothing to think with. Don't sound too good. I don't mean it like that. I guess that don't sound right. But what I mean is you don't have any thoughts. See, thoughts is a derivative of the act of creation. With creation comes man, with man comes brain, with man comes his five senses that relates to his tangible surroundings or environment. And this is what his thoughts come from. You know, I touch this mic, I touch this book, and something says book, mic. See, so my human senses, my five senses record these things, and that's where my thoughts come from. So that explains, you know, so you don't think I'm saying you're ignorant. See, I mean you don't have nothing to think with. When you get back beyond the beginning of time and creation, there ain't no thoughts. I say, Brother Pike, you're losing me more and more. I don't think I am, if you'll stay with me a few minutes. I don't think so. You say, but I ain't got nothing to stay with. I know, you know, you don't have anything to stay with except the beginning. But you do have the beginning. So, you know that you're there. And that's the main thing. You're here. And you got here because of the beginning. So, I'm just saying that base it on this. From here. We're going the other way. So, God was not in the beginning, as we say, as to the beginning. As to God being the beginning. But He was in the beginning in that He had no beginning. And He was the one that started the beginning. He's the one that made the beginning. the beginning. In the beginning was God. Isn't that right? That's what the Bible said. In the beginning was God. It says here, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. But if you'll read on over there, it says, in the beginning was God. Read it. Let's just go over there and take a look at it. We're trying to answer a question anyway. Let's just take a look at it right here. I try to explain these things like Daniel's abomination of desolation, whatever. Chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now here John is trying to explain the beginning. He's preaching a sermon to them. And he's dealing with Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we look over here and say, what are you talking about, John? It said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. He says, in the beginning was the Word. But it says here, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Now why does it define it as the Word? There's one simple reason for that. Is because if you define it as God, you ain't got nothing. As to a beginning. Now that sounds even foreign. More foreign than what I said a while ago. I might say, well, bless God, Brother Pike. You're saying God ain't nothing. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we as human beings, some of you show me God. Here we are. The infidel said, show me God. Show me God. Well, somebody said, well, you can't, he ain't here. Ever since the world began, they ain't never seen him. He ain't never been here. Oh, somebody said Jesus was God. Well, why did Jesus make the statement, said you've never seen his shape at any time? You've never seen him, you've never known him, never even seen his shape. You know why? Because Jesus came in the image of sin. That wasn't the shape of God. God is not shaped in iniquity and in sin. Okay, we just, it'd take a long time to get into this. So we're just going to try to stay with this one little bit. See, listen at real good now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's what it says over here. He said, let there be light. The light shined in the darkness. He said that he come forth. There was nothing but darkness upon the face of the deep. Every natural thing has a spiritual meaning. And here John is bringing it all out about the beginning to show the spiritual meaning. And he goes on to say there was a man named John that came to bear witness of that light. And then he goes on to speak of that light, bearing witness of it, said it was the light of the world when he came. And he came into his own received him not. As many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God. Even those that believe on his name were not born of blood, nor the will of man, but the will of God. Said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made a human body. All right, let's look at it one more time now. Beyond the beginning. See, that's why I say that you didn't have anything. They had to call it the Word. Because there was the Word. There was the vocal utterance. There was a sound. And the Word said, let there be. And that's why the Bible said all things was created by Him and for Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. See, it was made for the Word. Because the Word is the beginning of all creation. The Bible said God sent His Word and healed them. The Word was made flesh. That was God's Word doing that healing. It was God's Word that created. It was God's Word that made the stars. The Bible said, and God upholds all things by His Word. So then all things is made for the Word. Because God can't be seen. And any natural thing has to belong to something that can be seen, which is the Word. The Word was made flesh. It could be seen. So then all things was made for Him, and they were made by Him, because God, the Eternal Spirit, give forth Himself through a vocal utterance that's called the Word. So it was made by the Word. Nothing came into existence without the Word. Today you can't get to heaven without the Word. There ain't nothing that can exist without the Word. If I go to heaven, I'm saved by grace through faith. In the Word. The Word of His promise. And what God did. by the Word being made flesh. So then, it's so important that we know His Word. For the Bible said He esteems His Word above His name. Because it doesn't say in the beginning was a name. It says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is God. The name is the name of God, but the Word itself is God. He esteems that above His name because that's Him Himself. So I'm trying to get over a thought to make you to understand that we are something that He spoke into existence. Let there be and there was. So here is what I'm saying. That man is made out of the dust. But God had to create the dust first. That's where the dust came from. They talk about their nebula mass. God had to create the dust and made man out of the dust. And this didn't swing off from some kind of a merry-go-round out there. The Bible said God created the heavens and the earth. God made Eden. And God made the garden in Eden. And God made man of the dust. And God put man in the Garden of Eden. Man didn't spring from no frog. He didn't come from no vertebrate age and chlorophyll. And all these kind of things. See, if he did, why isn't it doing the same thing? Somebody said, well, it's done got its start. What's that got to do with it? There could be millions of other stars. Why come some of them other stars ain't got out here, you know, and come down to meet us down here? All of them comes from one generation. Why do you have to get them all from one generation? If it produced out there from some nebula mass, there must be some more springing off out there somewhere. We all have a half a dozen tribes here from somewhere, at least that many. See, it's just foolishness. So then looking back beyond the beginning, going back beyond the beginning, what is there? There is the invisible God. How can we define God if we can't see Him, if we can't feel Him, if we can't know Him, that is to, if He can't even become a thought to us? How can we define God? There is no definition for God except Jesus Christ. Now the word God, we say God, glory to God, He's my God. Don't you say nothing about God. What are you talking about? Are you talking about the God that is a frog? Or the God that is an idol? Are you talking about Confucius God? Are you talking about, what God are you talking about? The word God means object of worship. See, so why you get so stirred up? I'm concerned about the name Jesus. It doesn't say anything about salvation in the name God. If salvation was in the name God, Paul said there's gods many, but to us there's but one God. That's the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. This is the kind of God I'm speaking of. So, when you go into the foreign fields and you begin to preach the gospel, and you have all them people coming about, and you're talking about God, you've got a problem. You've never experienced that. You're completely dumbfounded. You might go and become a missionary and run the same old route where everybody else has gone. You know, you got the Baptists, the Methodists, the Assemblies of God, and those that have frontiered the thing has already got everything going and they know something. You know, you can converse with them. But you just hit a straight heathen. You hit somebody that don't know nothing about nothing, and you just sit down and that is, you go over, like a man one time said, you go over to a place and say, look, do you know Jesus? And he looks back at you and he says, no, said, I don't know him. Said he might live over in the next village. You know, and then what do? You say, but I'm talking about Jesus. There's numbers of people called Jesus. There's numbers of people named Jesus. In the Bible, it speaks of being named Jesus. Somebody said, but I'm talking about my Jesus. But see, when you get back to the Greek and you get back to the Hebrew, they don't even call it that name. That's an English definition for it. That's your sound. That's your verbal sounds. See, they might just say, as I say so often, they might just say, yeah, 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 yeah. And you'll say, what do you say? You know, Yahweh. They say, I'm saying, yes, sir. What are you saying? I'm talking about Jesus. See, the Spanish, Jesus. See, and so you say, well, Praise God, you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus, they say. Baptized in the name of Jesus. You say, you didn't do it right. You didn't do it right. So here you have a feud on your hand, you know. You understand what I'm saying, folks? People don't realize how broad this thing is. The spectrum of this thing concerning God is. We get in our little feuding over here, and we get in our little fusses, and we get in our little deals at home, you know, and we get to be a great big brother and say, bless God, he ain't preaching it right. He don't preach the name of Jesus, and he don't baptize in the name of Jesus. See, and a lot of times we don't know what we're talking about. We don't understand what we're saying at all. Not at all. So, I say beyond the beginning. I'm trying to get around to make it a point, but I want to be sure that I get around to saying the thing I'm saying so you'll understand what I'm saying when I go to make the point. See, so I can't look out beyond the beginning unless it's the act of God. Unless God comes in my heart, unless it's the mind of God. There's nothing that'll go beyond the beginning except the mind of God. There is no definition for God except Jesus. He is God made flesh. He is the express image of God. The word express means the given image of God. He is the given image of God. God wouldn't let him worship bees. He wouldn't let him worship trees, stars, whatever, though they did do it as heathens. Yet he told them, said, you can't be my people and do it. And when he gave the image, he gave Jesus. And then Jesus said, now, unless you believe I'm he, you die in your sins. They said, are you the Son of the Blessed? He said, I am. I am, and said, one day you're going to see me coming. I'll be on the right hand of God. But he didn't say that until he got right down to the finish line and said that to the high priest, because there was a change. All the other time, he would not give any glory to the flesh. He'd say, not me, but the Father on the inside. Trying to take everything away from the flesh and bring it to the Spirit. All right, now, he knew then he was fixing to return as the Spirit. They wouldn't see him no more till that time. Even in the resurrection. So beyond the beginning. I can't think of God because there is no thoughts beyond the beginning. I made a human being and my thoughts consist of a beginning. I say this one more time. My human senses is all that can give me thoughts. Somebody said, well, I don't need my human senses. I can get my thoughts. Well, if that be so, why is it when you put a man in a casket, he isn't doing any more thinking? Why is that? Somebody said, well, he's dead. Dead of what? I mean, what is he dead to? A Christian isn't dead. The inner man of a Christian isn't dead. He can't die. How could he be dead when he can't die? Somebody said, well, he sure ain't there. I know that he isn't there. He's moved out of that body. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, he moved off and left that tabernacle. The Bible said, if this tabernacle be dissolved, I have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hand. That is to say, if my earthly tabernacle of the first man Adam is dissolved, I've got another tabernacle, and the Thessalonians speaks of it as to the change when it will be the body of the Son of God. I've borne the image of the earthly Adam, so shall I bear the image of the heavenly, which is the heavenly Adam, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. In the foreknowledge of God, as to what God sees me at, I'm already that. I've already passed from death unto life. I wish, you know, just one night, I wished I had time to talk to you. It would take all night to do it. But I wished I just had one time to just stand and talk with you. But anyway, that's why that in this age we as people are so ignorant as to what them people was in that day. They talked all night long. They studied all day long. They went to church all day and all night. And the Bible said they were just together from house to house breaking bread. That's all they ever did is pray and worship God and fast and study the Bible. They didn't care about the other things. The Bible said the Gentiles seek after all those things of the world. Eating and drinking, and I got to go to work, and I got to pay my bill and the light bill, and I got to have this, and I got to have that. Got to make my car payment. All the Gentiles seek after those things. Jews don't do that. The Bible said salvation is of the Jew. Everything they do in the natural, everything they look for, I'm talking about the real Jew now. Everyone, like the 144,000, the Bible said they were virgins. They followed the Lamb whithersoever he went. Always they followed him. Salvations of the Jew. Okay, let's look back again. Now, beyond the beginning. So there is nothing beyond the beginning. There is nothing. Now, when we say nothing, then we've got to define what nothing is. See, we've got to define what something is. How do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, well, you can't define what nothing is, Brother Pike, because nothing is nothing. But you can. What is nothing? It is the absence of something. Isn't that the definition for it? Just like light, darkness. How are you going to define light? You can't see light. Scientist says you cannot see light. Somebody will say, well, they're crazy. I see light all around me. No. No, believe it or not, they're right. You cannot see light. There is no way that you can see light. So then you've got to have some definitions. What are those definitions? What is darkness? What is the definition of darkness? The absence of light. The absence of light. Where does darkness go when light comes? Can anybody tell me where darkness went to when light came? The Bible said it was dark, darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. Where did the darkness go when the light came? You understand what I'm saying? Believe it or not, in the same world, the same atoms that you use for darkness is the same atoms that makes your light. They're one and the same. Well, we won't get into that. Anyway, let's think of it like this. Beyond the beginning, what is beyond the beginning? Now, when you say nothing, Brother Pike, what in the name of reasoning are you saying? I'm saying nothing according to our human definitions, according to our human vocabulary expressions, according to our grammar, according to our knowledge, our thoughts, according to that which we have to register on our brain as a thought, as a brain wave, as a vibration. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that to use the terms nothing, it is because you've got something somewhere. I know some of you don't get that. I see you look at me with a hollow expression. But if you'll hold on, you can understand what I'm saying. It's because there is something somewhere. Isn't that right? How do you know about darkness? Because there's light. How do you know about light? Because there's darkness. Somebody said, no, I see light. You don't see light. So then the only way you know about light is because of darkness. Why is it the Bible says in the day of the coming of the great Ancient of Days? I didn't mean to get on this one question and go, this is the only way I know to try to explain it. Why is it when the Ancient of Days comes, the Bible said the mountains flee away? There is no more ocean. There's no more nothing. You understand what I'm saying? No more something, we said. There is no more. When the Ancient of Days come, there is no more. We say nothing. Somebody said, you can't use that word. If I use that word, then that must indicate that it has it's relative to something. Because I said there's no more nothing. There's nothing anymore. Why am I saying there's nothing anymore? Shouldn't I just say there's something no more? That don't sound right, does it? So the human definition is the way that we use it. It's the way that we express ourselves. When the Ancient of Days comes, he is the light. When he comes, there ain't nothing else. And you can't see him. So there's nothing anymore. The Bible said there's no more mountains. There's no more ocean. There's no more nothing. Everything flees away. So you say, well, where are we going to be? The Bible said we look for new heavens and a new earth. He has to recreate. He has to bring something else into existence. You understand what I'm saying? But you say, Brother Piker, how can he do that? Because you said that the only way that God ever did it in the beginning was by withdrawal, by receding. As the light receded, he allowed the shadows to come. And of course, we got some tapes where we go into the details on these things. And that's the way the creation comes. How then, if he's going to be the great light, how will he ever recreate? By the body of the veil of Jesus. And the Bible said there'll be no need for light in that city, for the Lamb is the light thereof. That is to say, by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what preserves creation. That's why that the Bible says Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God. There is no creation of God except for the veil of Jesus. Unless God, the great light, comes within the veil of Jesus, there is nothing. And this is why that they couldn't look on Moses' face until he put the veil over it. It indicated the body of Jesus over the Heavenly Father. So that's why Jesus came in the form of sin and in the form of darkness. He had to come as just exactly opposite to God. And this is why God smote him. God smote him because he was just exactly opposite of God at the crucifixion. See, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Or he could have said, why are you finding fault with me? I never done nothing wrong. But the Heavenly Father could have said, for this reason, no flesh shall be justified by the law. And oh, folks, we could get into something that would make you so happy. Right there, it would take a long time, but it would make you so happy when we finished. But we can't do that because you're just not given to that kind of thing as far as the time and the understanding. But let's try to at least complete a few thoughts right here. You know this is the tree of life. But anyway, that's why that God has to come at the end of the age as the Son of God. He first has a 1,000 years millennium and rules and reigns in the body of Jesus. But the flesh has the preeminence as to the natural side of it to the natural Jew. But see, that's a celestial being sitting on the throne as well as those 12. They're celestial beings. So when it passes the 1,000 years and then the Ancient of Days comes, it switches over from the veil side because it is not a natural Jew anymore. It is a spiritual Jew. And when it switches over to the spiritual Jew, then the illumination of the great God Almighty begins to penetrate. And there's no way to see him except that the Son in him's one. Jesus overcame and sat down in the throne with him. And the light is the Lamb. The Lamb is the light of that city. So, I'm saying again, beyond the beginning. What is beyond the beginning? I'm going to use a human terminology so that you can have a thought to find the foundation beyond the beginning. Something to found your thoughts on. What is beyond the beginning? Let's use a human terminology and say there is nothing beyond the beginning except light. And the Bible said, God is light. And you can't see light, scientists say. So God is the great light. When the writer of Revelation explained God, he said, and God is the great light unto which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen. No, not Moses. No man has seen. The great light into which no man can approach unto. Or no man has seen or can see. There's no way. This thing about three gods and the Heavenly Father and us seeing him when we get there, that's a bunch of foolishness. There ain't no such days. Ain't gonna be no such thing. That's why that they can't get to the sun. There has to be an allegoric type. Who is going to go to the sun? Ain't never no man been to the sun. And you know what? Ain't no man going to the sun. Now you tell me who's ever been to the sun. And tell me who's going to the sun. You know. In your human reason, you've got enough understanding to know there ain't going to be no days like that. There ain't nothing they can make that will withstand the heat of the sun. The flame, scientists say, leaps out for thousands of miles and millions of miles from the sun. Just the flames. Ain't nobody going to get up there around it. That's the way it is with God, folks. Everything depends on him. They say if the sun should just go out, the whole earth would freeze over all creation. Humanity would be lost. See, so that means that Jesus Christ alone dwells in that light. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, which means he is the Lamb, the light of that city. And the light, I tell you again, the light means understanding. It don't mean you see, like with your natural eyes, and the 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain records this up here, and we say that's light, because what it is, the shadows around are dense enough that it gives us a glow. And we call that a light. Isn't that right? Like a candle light, and then we get a brighter light, we get a flashlight, then we get a fluorescent light. You understand what I'm saying? All down through the years is a light, and then a greater light, and then a greater light, and then a greater light, to give us a natural allegoric type, to let us know that God is becoming brighter and brighter and brighter, and the Ancient of Days is moving in, more knowledge, more understanding, more brightness, till all of the veil of this satanic interruption of God's plan is just going to go like that. And the Bible said God will destroy all of it with the brightness of His coming, because Satan is the prince of this world and he's got this thing into the shattered thing. God had to suffer it to create a being. He had to suffer it for it to come into existence. He had to recede. He had to back off and let this thing happen to even have a creation. But when He brings us into the light, gradually, we will transformate into the light and we will be one with the light. You get your light too bright, you destroy your image, even if you make video. There won't be nothing there. As a matter of fact, when we were standing down baptizing, you remember when we was baptizing and they took the picture, Sister Lambert and them, they took the picture, and over here it showed the image of Brother Taylor, and when it got over there to me, there was no Brother Pike. Because, see what had happened, God had caused the great phenomenal thing with the sun and to strike it just right to where there was no more image. The light was so bright the image went away. And see, he was trying to tell us something spiritually. Just like when Noah built that natural ark. That was a natural ark built out of natural gopher wood. But God was trying to tell us something. God always uses the natural, tangible side of matter to reveal Himself. All right. So then, the light, what am I doing on the inside? I am emerging into the light. Every day of my life, I'm seeking the light. And my inner man is emerging into that light. And I'm becoming one with the light. And the more that I become one with the light, the more I am God. That don't sound right, Brother Pye. Well, believe it or not. The Bible said, I've called ye gods. The more Brother Taylor is God. Let me say it like that. Somebody want to dispute it? Don't run off and say, bless God, bless God, bless God. Don't do that. Stand up like a man. Say, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you done lost me. I don't know what you're talking about. Now you explain this thing to me. Don't go off like some silly kid out there and start, well, like the vision I had where the little ones messed up their diapers. I didn't understand what it was all about until I preached the message and I saw the mess that came out of it. The Lord showed me what the vision was. See, don't do that. We're trying to help you. Listen at what we're saying. See, if you don't understand it, don't get all upset. If a little baby like my little Andy out there, if she don't want it, she says, no, no. Just do it that way. She don't run off from home. And she don't forsake her mother. She's back for the next meal. And she might even want the same thing. You can never tell. Right then, she don't want it. If you don't understand it, don't make your faith shipwreck. But don't throw everything else down the drain. If you had a bag full of diamonds and you run across one that you thought was a zircon, and say, well, my lands, ain't none of these. You wouldn't throw the whole bag of diamonds or rubies away, would you? Now, you need to check it out. It could be that it might not be a zircon. It might be a real diamond. Might just be your definition of it. All right. I know you want me to quit, but I ain't going to quit. Till I get through, you might as well just settle down now or just get up and leave, because I ain't going to quit till I get the thought over. All right, so then, this is beyond the beginning. I don't have any place for you to put your foot, because there ain't nothing out there. I don't have any place for you to homestead out there. I don't have any place for you to build out there. I don't even have a place out there where you can get a thought to even know where out there is. You got to know where out there is. You'd say, Brother Pike, these things sound so wild to me and so foreign to me. I don't see why they should. Because just stop and think. I use illustrations a lot of times. Somebody said, but you just get out there where there ain't nothing, there ain't no such place as there. Well, let's just look at it for just a minute. If you leave this earth and you head out yonder somewhere and you don't land on the moon, where is the bottom out there? This ain't the bottom. The world ain't the bottom. When you get out yonder and look back at this, this ain't no more than that out there. This little planet called Earth is just spinning around out here like a ball, just like that ball is out yonder. He said, where do you get that in the Bible? The Bible said, God set upon the curvature of the earth, the circle of the earth, beheld the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers. I believe that's why Columbus sailed like he did. He got that idea from the Bible. See that the world was round. Now, they've proven it in our day that the Bible is right. So then I'm just saying this, where is the bottom? If I'm so dumb and you're so smart, and scientists are so smart, where is the bottom? Where is the top out there? They ain't ever found it. So I said, oh, it's got to have a top. Well, why don't they find it? That thing they sent out there going on to Pluto and wherever, it ain't never bumped into a wall yet. Do you know how far that thing is out there? Folks, it ain't hit nothing yet. That's too far for me and you to go. We've done good as people just to get to the moon. Isn't that right? How do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, where is the top out there? Somebody said, bless God, I don't want to know nothing about this. But you better learn. Because what if something happened to this little ball you're sitting on? Where are you going to fall to? Where are you going to go to? There ain't no top out there that they found. There ain't no sides out there that they found either way. There ain't no bottom out there that they found. So there must be an eternity somewhere. When you get out there in the middle of that, what are you going to think about? When you get out there in the middle of that, what are you going to talk about? When you get out there in the middle of that, your means and measurements and your ability to comprehend, what are you going to do then? See, you ain't got none. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have any. That's why they try to hold on to that little ship when they launch it off from here. And they try to make that communication back here at this little ball. Because if they ever lose tab on that, they ain't no more. That's it. So, this is what I'm saying. There is an eternity. I'm trying to bring it down to a natural thing. Somebody said, well, I can comprehend that out there. You can't because there ain't nothing to comprehend. Now stop and think. There ain't one thing for you to comprehend. You say, well, how do I know about it? As you know about the little ball just floating around. The little ball just floating around somewhere. And because you know about the little balls and you know there's a somewhere out there. And you don't know nothing about the somewhere and you ain't nothing in the somewhere and you can't touch nothing in the somewhere. You don't know that the somewhere is there, but you know the little balls is there according to your program of what you call science. So then that means that great thing that you think you comprehend, you ain't comprehended nothing. What did you comprehend out there? Ain't nothing you can define. You can't give me one thing. Not one thing. Now can you? All right. But it does prove my point, don't it? So, beyond the beginning, folks. Beyond the beginning. Did you know when you get out there, you done got beyond the beginning? Are you listening to me? You done got beyond the beginning. Because there ain't nothing for you to play with out there. Ain't nothing for you to measure out there. Ain't nothing for you to stand on out there. There ain't nothing. You get beyond the atmosphere, the hemisphere, the Uranic sphere. Get on up there, above the stratosphere. These kind of things. Get on out of the rims of the atomic particles. Get out there in that weightless place. Get out there where you can just float around and drift around. What causes that? Got to be a reason. It's when I am born again. It's when I get into the mind of God that I done got beyond that gravitational power. Like Peter walking on the water, and that means sin can't pull me down the hill. See, it's a type. So I'm saying this again to try to get over a thought here. And that is beyond the beginning, what is it? Now out there, you're going to run into darkness. You're going to run into darkness when you get out there. It's the deep depths of darkness. Our galaxy, they say there are billions of stars and things in our one galaxy. Just think. And all them things big are bigger than the world. And we think we're real big. Somebody says, bless God, I went to college and I come from Caltech. And I say this because of Chuck. He come from Caltech. But anyway, Chuck knows what I'm saying about. Anyway, that's the only one I could think of, Chuck. So he says, I come from Caltech. Bless God, I went through that book. I'm Mr. Him now. I'm ready for my papers. Don't you see how childish, how puny, how ignorant that is? If there are billions of stars in one galaxy, what does a man with a little piece of paper measure up to with just a half a billion of them? See, he don't register a speck. Let's just be glad that we can keep our sanity, that God did give us these means and measurements and these boundaries to run around like a little old child, you know, and say it's 3,000 miles to California and 2,500 miles to Florida, or what it would be, you know, some kind of little something. Let's just be glad for our little old puny program up here. That's what causes people to go to the insane asylum. Of course, I know people have mental breakdowns. You know, their brain, something happens to the brain. We all have problems, physically speaking. Anything can happen. But when you get out of your means and measures, you may have a good brain. But you get lost and you think, oh my God, I've gone crazy. Demons come in, or you lose your sense of balance, or you never have got into God, you don't understand it. And there you go. And I could say some things here that would really shake you up, but we're not here to do that. I just want you to think, beyond the beginning, is there anything? There's got to be something, and yet there's nothing. And yet there's got to be something. You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean something is only a word. What is something? It's a word. It's a human word. It's a word that we've been taught. It's something that we've been programmed to. It's an ABC, like a 1, 2, 3. And we put them all together, them little characters, and it says, something. And that's our little vocal sound, something. You know, in China, they might have said, di-di-di-di-di. And that might have been all there was to it. But it would have meant to them, that would have meant something. So it's a little sound, it's a little vibration. So when I say there's got to be something out there, I'm using the only thing that I have to use is the vocabulary utterance of human expression. There ain't nothing else. That's the only way your brain can think. My brain can think. So out there, there's something. I'll use the term something. I'll say, well, what is that something out there? It is light. It is light. Still using human definition, because we don't have anything else to use. So it is light. What is that something? It is God. And God is light. Now, this is the point I want to get to. How old is God? How old is He? Somebody said, well, you know, He's X amount of years old. Thousand, a million years old. Somebody said, oh, there ain't no such thing. Well, why does the Bible call Him the Ancient of Days? If He isn't numbered by days, then why does it call Him the Ancient of Days? There must be some days. You know what it is? He is the Ancient of Days because He hath been from the beginning of the first day all the way over to the end of these days. That's going to be. And then through the 1,000 years millennium. And then beyond that, He was there. Now, the question is this. Do I define God or light by saying 1,000 years or 5,000 years or 5 million years or 10 billion years or when did He create the angels? I can't do that. Now this will make sense if you'll listen. I can't do that because there is no human way to comprehend God or define God except through the Lord Jesus. Because man has a beginning. But when we are born again and we move into the light and we become one with God and we become one with Christ, then our mind begins to comprehend God. Comprehending the heights, Paul said, the depths, the width, and the length. So, what are we doing? God is a revelation. He is a light, an understanding that is revealed to your human senses through the medium of thought. But God has to be revealed. When thoughts are taken away, God is still there. When human thoughts are no more, there's still an inner man that hath not thoughts, but light. The mind of Christ, which is light. The heavenly radiation of divine comprehension as to the mind of Christ, which is light that remaineth. It doesn't depart. It doesn't depart. Now, so then, we can't say how old God is, because God is not old. God. We can't say how young God is because God is not young. God is life. God is light. So it's not a matter of Him being 1,000 years old or 10,000 years old or how long has God been here or where did He get His start. We don't try to define God like that. We say God is, God was, and God shall be even from everlasting to everlasting. He said, I am. I was. I shall be. So then how do I define God? As understanding what we mean beyond the beginning. That there is no such thing as day and night with God. There is no such thing as days and weeks and months and years. With us, it is now day or night. Day or night. That's what it is. The first day and then the night and then the next morning, as God said. That's the beginning. That's mankind. That's our means and measurements. That's how we keep our stability. But I've asked this a lot of times to get my thought over. Where is yesterday? Where is yesterday? If it is yesterday and the day before, and then it's going to be tomorrow, which is the day that's following, or the day after. See, where is tomorrow? Where is tomorrow? I mean, let's be realistic. Where is tomorrow? You know, we got our little old program, and we don't never bother to think. We don't never bother. You know, we're just happy. We say, well, this is life. Somebody said, yes, that's any ignoramus knows it's yesterday. The thing is, where is yesterday? If you started a traveling right now and you outdone the sun and you got ahead of the sun or you got past the sun or you started traveling with the sun and you kept up with the sun and you come up with the sun and you move with the sun and you went on. You ever heard of daylight saving time? You're moving with the sun. You know, when you go westward, you're moving with the sun. It's coming from the east. So then you're moving with it. You understand? You're saving time. But if you move against it, you're losing time. It's getting darker all the time. He's going one way, you're going another. That is the sun. So see, if you move with it, where is the night? I'll tell you what you can do. And this sounds like a little fairy tale, you know, or something you read in a child's book, but I'm just trying to bring it down to a child's level. You get with the sun. And you stay with the sun. And you travel with the sun. Every day, as we say. Every night. You travel with the sun every year. You travel with the sun from now on. And you spend the rest of your life traveling with the sun and keep looking till you find night. Then see how long it takes you to find it. See where it's at. Tell me what it is. See, you know and I know as long as we travel with the sun, we ain't going to run into no night. Because there ain't no night. When the sun is here, the day star here is no night. That's why I don't have any darkness in my heart. Jesus said, until the day star dawn within you, which is Christ, he that overcometh, I will give you the bright and the morning star. I have him in my heart. It's daylight all the time. That's why Joshua could say to the sun, stand still. Moon, stand still. Sun over Gibeon, moon in the valley of Ajalon. See, I'm saying that out there beyond the beginning, there's no shadows. Beginning brings shadows. There is no shadows. So if there is no shadows, there is no such thing as today and tomorrow with God. Never was, never will be. Day, tomorrow and yesterday, day and night, that's with man. Not with God. See, there is no beginning with God. There is no morning with God. There is no night with God. It's just one great eternal day, as you would term it, with your words. You understand what I'm saying? Now, when we think like that, it's not hard to understand God. Now, is it? Not hard to understand God? Not hard. You don't have to say, well, I wonder if it's been 1 billion years he's been here, or what he's been doing through the 1 trillion years, and how many other worlds he made, you know, back to the billions of years that's passed. See, folks, I'm saying this, that we're just here, and that's it. We've been here, and that's it. Before the world ever was, we was in his mind. You understand what I'm saying? The absence of the sun that you call darkness just to give you a chance to lay down and close your eyes and relax your tired body, to let your nerves recuperate, don't mean nothing. See, we're just here. We always was. We always will be. That is, we that are in him. He always has been. He's here. He was here. He'll always be here. There's no such thing as he was here yesterday and he's going to be here tomorrow. He's here. You understand? We sing that song, he's here, he's here, and he's been here all the time. See, that is to say, the only day and night, the only harassment, the only mental fatigue, the only problems, the only thing of trying to define is within your brain and my brain and our little scramble up computerized theories and ideas that keeps us in a wilderness with a devil ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And one day God is going to reach back, like I said, as from the beginning of time over to the end of time, saying time will be no more, and close that thing up like an accordion and throw it away. Your calendars and your almanacs and all these things that you keep your mental balance with, people won't have them. They won't be there. That's why you need to learn what I'm telling you. That's why you need to come into this thing. That's why you need to graduate and get out there in the world of life. That's why you need to understand these. Because what are you going to do? He said, well, there won't be no days like that. Well, read it in Revelation 10. And he said, one foot on the land and one on the sea, lifted his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever that time would be no more. The days of the Gentiles is beginning to diminish. Time's beginning to go out. That's why we're preaching these things. That's why we're teaching these things. Time creatures go out with time. And if your mind is a carnal mind, to be carnally minded or time-minded is death. Because death comes by time. Solomon said there's a time to die. And as long as you're in time, you must die. So then that means you could not be a creature of the eternal state of bliss. You might as well to get that out of your mind. The churches has. Might as well get it out of their mind. They need to get it out of their mind. The churches has this in their mind that they're just going to sit around and after a while, going to be a rapture, Jesus is going to come down and take them all away. But I tell you, Enoch didn't do it like that. He was translated by faith that he should not see death. He went. Elijah just all of a sudden, he went. Nobody couldn't find him. See, because this thing has to do with light. Light does away with the image, even natural light. So this light that's getting brighter, the Ancient of Days is appearing from within the heart. He's coming forth now. And he speaks of the natural out there because there's a natural, physical, and a spiritual. And remember what's happening to us in that heavenly realm. So it's coming forth. So then we say, when did God create the angels? I said all that to say this. Am I to stand up here and say, well, he did it 5,000 years ago, he did it 2,000 years ago, take science's silly theory about time, which is a mockery to God and his understanding? Am I to stand up here and say he done it 5,000 years ago? All I can say is he done it. When did he create man? I can say in the beginning. So then does the angels have a beginning? Angels are lights. Angels are lights. That's why the light come upon them that was on the hillside of the shepherds, and the light shine round about them. That's why the light came on Paul and his eyes went blind. Angels are lights. You feel cast down like this, been fasting, been praying, all of a sudden you feel strong and you begin to arouse yourself and you feel encouraged and you feel like you could run a foot race. What has happened? Angels are ministering spirits. They're lights. All of a sudden, one's come on you. You didn't see anything. But something's going through your body like the sun shining within his strength. The light. See, with Jesus, it was like the sun shining in his strength because it was God Almighty. Even the Spirit of Christ, the Anointed One. So, angels are lights. Measures of light. What are you in the Spirit in heaven as to your inner man? There's neither male nor female. You are a light. You are a light. What kind of light? A light according to your measure. Whatever you give yourself to while you're in this body, while that inner man tabernacles in that body as to the light he comes to, which is the understanding, he is a light. He is that much God. He is that much light. He dwells that much in the light. And he's transformating into those dimensional heights of glory, of the glistening of the garment. He's elevating into that first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. He's going on up. It is determined as to whether he is a child, as to life in a little one, that's light. As to life in a teenager, that's life. As to light or life that's in a grown up, that is a life and a light as to their age, as to their maturity. So then this life, what is it to you and I? The parents left for the children, which means are we our child or are we parent? What is this? What is our measure? It's according to your measure. And he dealt the measure unto every man. Have you give yourself to hungering and thirsting after the word? Have you give yourself to education, as one would say, to get into college? Or did you just go to grammar school and that was all? Have you continued on in this thing just to know and to know and to spend all night on your knees and to spend all day just by yourself trying to understand this light and find this light? To study about this light? Are you willing to give your whole life to it? To meditate in His laws day and night, to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ? Or had you rather have a little something on the side? Somebody told me one day. They said, they'd rather do a little worldliness and a little worldliness and a little thing over here. But I don't want that. I don't want that. Jesus said, I do always the things that please the Father. That's why He was the fullness of the light. All right, so then let me say this, and I'm going to close. Maybe you don't understand, but I'm just saying this. Do you see how that time and days and seasons, because the sun comes up, the sun goes down, gets you all off base in the natural world? It's okay, but it gets you all off base when you go to comprehend spiritual things. And you're trying to figure out where God is and when He got here and how long was it when He done this and which day was it and how many days did it take and how many days was it before and how many days was it after? Well, it's nothing but we're here. What's days got to do with it? I mean, think on it now. What has days got to do with it? What has yesterday and tomorrow got to do with it? There ain't no such thing. What has my feelings got to do with it? What has my thoughts got to do with it? You understand what I'm saying, folks? It's just Him. And we're in Him. And we are of Him. And all things of Him and for Him. And we are part of Him. And we're discovering that we're part of Him. Somebody said, but bless God, Brother Pike, everybody ain't part of Him. I know that. But that's out yonder is the act of creation. That's beast. Or that out yonder is shadows that must pass away. That's all they are, is shadows. Though I walk through this valley of the world, the shadow of death, as He looked down from the mountaintop of heaven. See, but you and I are not shadows. We're not going to pass when the brightness comes. This thing is getting brighter and brighter, and it's destroying the image of shadows with the brightness of His coming. But you and I are creatures for another world. So then let's just think on that now. Where is God? How old is He? How long has He been here? Where is He at? How can I define Him? Who is He? God, the object of worship. He took on that title. Manifest Himself as the Son of God, Jesus, that's your definition, the express image of God. And we could go into some things of being made in His image and what this is all about, but we can't answer that tonight. I just went over these few things here to get you to think that let's take one outlook, and that is that God is. He was. He shall be. God is everywhere. Paul said He is above you. He is in you. He is through you. He's everywhere. See, God is that perfect state of being of a light that you can't see, you can't feel, you can't touch, except through Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, you can feel the verbal inspiration as He runs over your nervous system. You can get that revelation as it comes revelating itself into your mind and into your spirit. It's not there, so far as human definition, but it's there, so far as spiritual defining. Spiritual definition. So they say you go into the infinite. Call it what you will. But I'm just telling you, folks, there's a great exciting thing going on. There's a great exciting venture, the venture of faith. It's great exciting things. And I'm going to say this in close. I cannot understand why any woman would spend their time with gluttoning of the belly or with business, all with buying things or getting gain, or spend their time with their face and with their forms, or as to how many years they want to live or don't want to live, or their securities. I cannot understand that when this great, mighty thing of God, godliness, is given to humanity, and what they could be and what they could do, and what this thing has to do with that is so so great and so mighty that there's no words of expression for it. I can't understand that. I can understand eating and drinking for survival, taking care of your families, paying your debts. And when I say that, I understand that in seeking the kingdom of God first, going after all these things and letting God add all the rest unto you. Because He promised, and He that promised is faithful. All of our needs. There is given unto us great and exceeding promises. These are so wonderful. So, you think on these things tonight. Stand with me. Think on these things tonight. A lot of you may not have got anything out of this. And some of you may have. Some may have at least seen enough of what I was saying to get stirred up to start searching and looking and trying to find out what I'm talking about. You might have at least have gotten that much. But just remember, our little old world is human definitions of sounds and vibrations and feel and taste and touch and smell and these kind of things. And that's all it is. I ministered one night and proved that that's the only world to see us. And I'm going to say this to you. If you don't believe I'm telling you the truth, if you don't believe that's all there is to the world, then start one by one with your five senses. Kill the nerves in your eyes and you'll go blind. That means that much of the world is gone. It's gone. Kill the nerves in your ear and you'll go deaf. You're blind, you will never see nothing pretty no more. Birds or whatever. Somebody says, well, I know they're still there though. I can hear them. Do away with that sense of hearing. And then you'll never hear them anymore. You'll never hear the organ anymore. That much of your world is gone. Because we could say a lot about that concerning blind people. We're commenting on some of it just recently. And then when you do that, do away with your taste buds. And you'll never taste nothing else. Kill your taste buds. That much of your world is gone. Then do away with the nerves that can smell. Kill them out. You'll never smell the roses again. The taste buds, you'll never taste the cake, the ice cream again. That much of your world is gone. Now, you got one thing that's left. And that's the same thing that you've killed in every other part of your body. And that is the sense of feel. Do away with that, and your world is gone. You'll find out that you're dead. You're dead. They can stick pins in you. They can cut on you. They can do whatever they want to. It's like a dentist that gave you a shot to pull a tooth. There ain't nothing there no more. Wouldn't matter if he pulled your jawbone out. If he gives you enough of that he put into that jaw. You don't know nothing about it. Your world is gone. That's all there is to this world. This world is a lying vanity. It's just nothing but a fanaticism. A lying vanity. It's not there. All those things that you seem to cherish and look at and hold and want to have, it ain't there. When it comes right down to it, it ain't there. It just means there's a spiritual being on the inside of your body, and he lives in this little house, and through the medium of those human senses, he makes contact with what you call verbal inspiration or tangible matter. You'll get a verbal inspiration by him feeling tangible substance. When he moves out, that's all of it. And folks, like the songwriter said, there's a leak. There's a hole. There's a problem. The windows are out. This old house is needing repair. Farther down the road you go, the more repair it's going to need. So that means that if you've born this earthly, there's got to be a heavenly somewhere. And if you're carnally minded and you're given to this old house, it means it's just too bad for you. Because that's all that you are. That's all that you are. And you'll depart this little house long enough to go into the world of darkness and be cast into the lake of fire. A lot we could say about it. So, to lose your life here is to gain it. If you try to save your life, then you lose it. If you give this little tabernacle to God, let Him live in it to do His things in the earth and to set up his kingdom in the earth, then he'll give you an eternal tabernacle, an eternal building, your God's building. Peter said, one eternal in the heavens not made with hands. He'll give it to you. So you do whatever you will. It's your business. But when you think on God and you think on Christianity and you think on eternal life and you think on heaven and you think on where it's at and how high and how low and what are the depths and the heights and whatever, and you think on where God is and how long he's been here and when did he create the angels and a lot of other things I'd like to say about the angels, then just remember, time has nothing to do with it. That's a little old thing that's been thrown out there like this ball called the earth. It's just been thrown out there in the middle of everlasting to everlasting. And God's going to close it all up when the angel finishes. When the angel says what he says about the end of time. When God finishes his little old school program. And he won't be there. It's just a passing shadow. Won't be there. So God is. And today it's just as fresh on God's mind as though you crucified his son this morning. Because with him it's now. There was no yesterday when you crucified him. And there's no time elapsed. So far as God's concerned, there's no such thing as time. You killed him. If you didn't accept Christ Jesus, you've crucified him afresh. You killed him, and God is sitting there angry, just waiting for the shadows to move on over so that he can get you for what you've done to his son. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I'd still have to try hard to explain what I'm saying. You've got to be able to comprehend what I'm saying. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. In to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You love Jesus? I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden, and I'll go with him, with him. Folks, where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. And I'll go with him, all the way. Let's just slip our hands up together. Now just ask the Lord where you're at tonight. Just say, my God, where am I at? Where am I at? Do I know who I am? Do I know what I am? Do I know where I'm at? Just ask him tonight. Do you desire him with all of your heart, to love him with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your mind? Do you want to transfigure into that beautiful oneness of the great light? Do you want to do that? Folks, it's such a beautiful world. It's such a wonderful, exciting place. to dwell in the light. For the Bible said, if you dwell in the light, as He is in the light, you'll have understanding. You'll have fellowship one with another. Walk in the light. We sing that song, I'll walk in the light, shining upon me from heaven so bright. The light, for He is the light, and in Him there is no darkness, which means that He is all understanding, and there is no lack of understanding in Him. He is the completeness of understanding. And the Bible teaches that we are one with Him and complete in Him. And as He is, so are we in Him. Father, make these one even as we're one. One with Thy shining glory. Let's sing that little chorus. We sing the song of the light of the glory of the unveiled face. We see through a glass darkly as to our intellectual reasoning. The veil over Moses' face, that human reasoning, that veil of death from the garden. But then when it's taken away, we see through the mind of Christ, even face to face, to know as we're known. So we sing this little chorus. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changed. Oh yes, it's changing me, changing me. Oh, it's changing me, changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changed. Can you sing it like this now? Oh, let Thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let Thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father that's in the Son. For it's in Thy shining glory that we see Thy holy. Our hope is to be like Him. So let Thy will be done. Things is happening, transformations. Enoch translated by faith that he should not see death. Power of the great light. All by faith, to hear, to see, to know, to understand, to believe, to pass from this world into another world. I remember when I was caught up in the whirlwind in the vision, I was caught up way above the earth, way up in the whirlwind, and I was waving goodbye. Way up in the whirlwind. One of these days, and will it be one of these days? While we sing another little chorus, the altars are open. If you'd like to come to the altar, I'd like for you to come. While we sing this little chorus together. Just to be like Jesus. Just to be like Jesus. on the surf I long, just to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like him. From Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger, on this earth I long to be like him. By grace forgiven, akin to heaven, on earth I long just to be like. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown for when this battle is over. I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.